I've already poured it over my pancakes because we've been rough on this podcast because the Bucks didn't play well. For 57 minutes, they played terribly, terribly. So what are we supposed to do? Do jumping jacks because they beat a bad Saints team?
Watch Sunday's Buccaneers 49ers game with Ira Kaufman at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. Beautiful tap room, 3,000 square feet of outdoor seating, great sight lines and sound. And of course, the indoor tap room, A-plus menu, 4:25 kickoff. Ira's going to roll in about 4 o'clock. Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Enjoy a Bromosa, their great tangerine IPA. Stock up on Big Storm for the weekend. It's in the stores, bigstormbrewery.com. Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here, and it's the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira just announced $1,500 bonus cash towards the purchase of a new Ford for Florida residents right there at Bill Curry Ford. No payments for up to 120 days. Sean Sullivan's got, of course, his shopping gift cards for you. If you're ordering a new vehicle, no deposit. It's just amazing. The offers are flowing in. It's the end of the year. You know how that goes, Ira. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, he is the GM. You want to reach out to him directly, he'll help you directly. He's also the guy screaming and informing over at the Best in Class podcast, which you can find on the podcast platforms and at joebucksfan.com. Look up Best in Class with Sean Sullivan. But Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 60-plus years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Just start shopping there. So many great offers. And, of course, they are the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, crazy times in the world of the Bucs. Of course, we had that crazy game on Monday night. Warren Sapp himself even said that he left early. He couldn't stand watching that crap anymore. And he left with his daughter and put the game on his phone and was in his ride home and was celebrating. So, I mean, a lot of people have that attitude because they just couldn't take it anymore. But that's life as a Bucs fan as a Tom Brady fan. You got to be prepared for these things. Ira, before we get into the game, I got to ask you this because I have the blessing here of the first question to the sage. And it's been in my mind here just driving me nuts since I heard this the other day. So I got to ask you, Ira, but first, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Steve. I'm still not over the shock of Monday night. Steve, three people that I talked to that were at the game told me that when Brady was sacked, literally 10,000 people headed for the exits. 10,000 people. They're probably kicking themselves today because they saw one hell of a comeback, Steve.
Absolutely. All right, look, Sage, now, you know Bruce Arians quite well. We've listened to him, studied him for 3 years. Lee and I have spent time with Arians. Lee, even before he was head coach, having a cocktail or two with Arians. Bottom line is Arians took the job at $1 and said, man, he must have said it 10 times, Ira. I took this job, big reason, because all my assistants were available. I'm done coaching the coaches. I just need my guys who know how to do it my way. I've trained them all. We don't even have a lot of staff meetings here. I'm as hands-off as I can be on certain things, blah, blah, blah. I'm here for leadership, get to know the players, and do what I do, but I'm done coaching the coaches. I'm done. He said that so many times, Ira. And Todd Bowles jumps on the Buccaneers radio network, and he's asked, very good question. He's asked about, hey, you know, in your current job, how have you changed or grown from your last head coaching job? He's been on the job, 12 weeks, okay, as head coaching in games. You know what he says, Ira? He says, quickly answers that the second time around, it's taught me that I need to sit and try to teach the coaches in certain ways, in my own way. And it's more important that you teach the coaches how to coach the players and give my different point of view, et cetera, et cetera. Todd Bowles is sitting there coaching up these Super Bowl coaches in a staff that was handed to him. What do you make of that, Ira?
Steve, I know this one really this one really got under your skin. I mean, you must have jumped out of your seat when you heard the quote from Arians and you saw the quote from Bowles. and you knew what Arians' philosophy was. Steve, you got to remember, when Bowles got this job, after his main press conference, he came into the media room with a bunch of us and sat down. And the point he made more than any other one, I think that day, and Lee remembers it, I'm not going to be Bruce Arians. I'm not going to try. I'm different. And boy, is he different, as we have come to find out. Lee, as far as coaching the coaches, if he's focusing on his defensive coaches, I think he's doing a wonderful job in that respect. Now, if he's monkeying around with the offensive coaches, the results are plain to see. I got no problem with this Buck defense. I got no problem with the job that the Buck defensive coaches are doing. That's my latest column. I think these guys should take a collective bow. I think they've done a marvelous job. That's the unit that's keeping the Bucks fresh and in every game. Lee, as far as him with a different attitude than Bruce Arians, I'm not shocked. But overall, they're 6-6. So something's not working in Tampa, because you got Tom Brady. He hasn't missed a snap, and you're 6-6. From that standpoint, this has not been successful. It has not.
You know, Bowles confirmed with that statement, confirmed my worst fears. You know my two favorite things are, Ira, don't you?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Thank you. There's nothing broke about the offense or the way they were coaching out guys up. Nothing. But he had to tinker. We're seeing the results. Now, our good friend Sean Sullivan, you know, I'm a football nut, and I like X's and O's like the next guy, but I can't go this deep in X's and O's like Sean Sullivan does. He swears the Bucks have changed their routes, their wide receiver routes. They're not running the same routes they ran last year, because the routes they're running this year are specifically to help block downfield. Sean swears on a stack of Bibles that's true. And that, if that's true, and I don't have any reason to doubt Sean, this just reinforces what Steve documented Bowles saying, I got to coach the coaches up. And it's frightening, because Bowles has taken a mint condition Mustang and he's turned it into a Pinto. For what reason? I don't know. There was no reason to do it. And to me, that's coaching malpractice.
And speaking of a new Mustang, you can order one right now at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Go ahead, Ira.
Steve, is it feasible to think that Bowles is so hands-on to the point of making changes to the routes that the Buck offense runs? Steve, I mean, I have a hard time believing that. I think it goes back to Leftwich. He's responsible for that side of the ball. Bowles said he wasn't going to tinker much with the offense. He said that. Now, unless he's changed, the results have been terrible. You know, there's four or five teams in the league that are scoring less points than Tom Brady's offense. That can't happen. I just can't believe that he's that involved, that he's talking about the routes that the receivers run, Steve.
Well, that specifically, I'm not sure. But if he's been here 4 years, right, he was here 3 years as the defensive coordinator and Arians was hands off. Logic says that Bowles was already coaching up his defense and his defensive coaches exactly the way he wanted. So if he's saying that being a head coach second time around, I'm focusing more on coaching the coaches and teaching them how to coach the players, it's a pretty safe bet that it's on the offensive side of the ball.
Interesting, Steve. Interesting. So he's definitely conservative by nature. I mean, that surprises nobody, and he has exhibited it just as he did in New York. He is conservative by nature, and it really hasn't paid off this season.
These defensive guys, it's in their DNA, man. They are just scared to death of mistakes. It's in their DNA. It's in their blood, and you can't change these guys. That's why I would never hire a defensive guy unless part of the contract was you don't even talk to an offensive coach outside of saying good morning and goodbye. You don't mess with it. They just can't help themselves. And I like Todd, and it bothers me when I speak ill of him, but gosh darn, the results are the results. You know, Bowles has been saying stuff. The stuff I'm hearing coming out of his mouth, I'm like, if this guy was Lovie Smith, we'd be killing the guy. And some people think we are already. We're not. You know, he's saying stuff like, we can't run a hurry up because we're down a tackle. Todd, you were down a tackle Monday night, and look what happened. Goodness gracious. Then he's like, well, we've run hurry-up offenses against Carolina and Pittsburgh. It's almost like he's saying, yeah, we ran a hurry-up and we still lose, so shut up. It's like I never have seen a coach, never have seen a coach looking for reasons not to run his an offense that his players are proficient at. I've never seen that before. Most coaches like, damn it, we're doing this right. Let's keep doing it. Let's not do it. It's working. We can't do that.
Lee, I'll give you an example of some coaches that have the flexibility to adapt and put their players play to their strengths, Lee. And that is a tremendous attribute. Don Shula. Look at Shula, the great Shula.
Oh, you don't even have to go that far back. Just look at Sean McVay. I mean, goodness gracious.
Well, Sean McVay's not a defensive coach, Lee. I'm talking about defensive coaches. So,
got McDermott.
Well, you got McDermott, and then, you know, you had Belichick, who won with defense in the early 2000s. And then when he got Randy Moss, you know, Brady threw 50 passes a game. And they had the greatest offense the league's ever seen. And so that's Bill Belichick. And now they got, and now you look at McDermott. It's bombs away with Josh Allen. They don't run the ball particularly well, but he's got Josh Allen and he's got Diggs. You know, so that's what he does. That's great coaching. Take advantage.
But smart coaching.
It's not always easy for defensive coaches to do that, Steve.
Yeah, it's in their DNA. You know, here's my big question, and this deals with Bulls. Is it fair to say the Bill Parcells disciples, that mentality? Now, I know Sean Payton's a Bill Parcells disciple, but he's an offensive coach. He gets it, you know. Tom Coughlin was an offensive coach. And he tried to build the Giants with Jacksonville a few years ago. Look what happened with that. You know, a team that was in the AFC Championship should have been in the Super Bowl, and he ruined it. He absolutely ruined it. Is it fair to say that the Bill Parcells types, Mike Zimmer, Todd Bowles, there's other examples, of course, games passed them by, that mentality, that philosophy, it's dead. I don't think Parcells won a playoff game with the Cowboys, did he? Belichick's having problems up in New England. Is it fair to say the game has passed him by? I'm not saying that about Belichick specifically. I don't think the game has passed him by. But that philosophy of coaching, you know, let's, you know, play it safe, play it close. We'll win with defense. We'll get a turnover.
The game has changed significantly. Now, I'll tell you a team, Lee, that in 2022, this current season, going forward, I think is going to operate by that very philosophy, and I think that's the 49ers. Even when they had Garoppolo and they weren't down to Purdy, I think the idea was manage the game. Don't screw up. Don't lose it for us. Don't give the other team short fields. We got a defense. We can run it with McCaffrey. You can flip it to McCaffrey and just do enough. And we're not going to ask you to throw 40 balls a game. We'll see. That philosophy almost won the 49ers a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But by and large, I don't think you can win that way. I don't. Who's been successful? The Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, high-powered offense, big-time quarterback.
The Bucs.
The Bucs. I think that's the way the league is right now. Even Derek Brooks told me that last week, that the game's changed. You can't win 17-16 anymore. Now, Steve, the funny part is scoring's down a little bit this year. It's down, you know, 5% or whatever it is, but it's down. And the arrow had kept going up for like 10 years in a row. Still, when you look at it, everybody's completing 65% of their passes. You know, and pass interference is rampant. Across the league, and we saw it Monday night, big play that helped the Bucs get back in this game. I'll say it again, 5 long passes a game. Throw 5 long passes a game, and this team doesn't do it. They don't do it.
Hey, real quick about Garoppolo, and maybe I'm just being subjective, but I never thought Garoppolo was a drag on an offense. I always thought he was a decent quarterback. No, he wasn't Mahomes, but he sure as heck isn't Trent Dilfer. And so I always thought that was, I don't know if I want to use the word irresponsible, but I don't think it was accurate the way people piled on Jimmy GQ. I thought he was a decent quarterback.
I'd use the word serviceable, Steve, serviceable, not elite. List of 1 to 32 quarterbacks, he's number 17 or 18.
I mean, if you don't want to throw deep and you want to play that brand of football, he's great. But if you want to play modern offense, he's just not. He's not your guy.
He's perfect for a West Coast offense. That, you know, dink and dunk passing.
And Lee, if they really like them, they want to draft the Trey Lance. You got to remember that too.
that blew up in her face, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sage, all right. I had to ask you that because it's just bizarre that Bowles went there so quickly and so comfortably that he's up there saying, man, my new job, I realize I need to coach up the coaches. Yeah, I don't know. This was a team on a 22-5 run before he took over, and I wonder how it played with the coaches themselves. Now I'm being coached up by Todd Bowles. He's teaching me how to run block. You know, I don't know. It's a little bit odd, Ira. Sage, Brady still is right up there in league leaders in yards, 3,300 yards passing, 66% completion. I don't know. I think we all hope they open up the offense a little bit. Sage, people need to be smart like you and have on their refrigerator and in their phones Florida's Elite Restoration bookmarked. Florida's Elite Restoration, that is your premier company in the greater Tampa Bay area that you contact when you have a disaster like mold or a fire in your home, storm damage, water damage, a leak, whatever it is, you reach out to them immediately. 24/7, they'll respond and they'll give you a free assessment and honest voice as to what's going on in your property, what it's going to take to repair it, make it right, preserve the value in your property. Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin has $500 off for Joe Buck's fan readers, Ira Kaufman listeners. When you call, you have to just say, hey, I heard about it at Joe Buck's fan. Ira told me, that kind of thing. And if you decide to move forward with their service after your free assessment, you can use that money toward your deductible with your insurance, or it's just $500 back. $500 from Florida's Elite Restoration. And more important is the knowledge that you're going with somebody that you can trust. Josh Martin, the owner, he's got 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So he's going to bring that to your situation and make sure you don't get ripped off because that's what happens over and over again. You need someone you can trust. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Going back to Monday, Ira, you know, what ugly football. They still couldn't figure it out. And of course, they get to the 4th and 10. Brady wants to go for it. He gets pulled off the field. Todd Bowles says, no, we're punting. And by a slew of football miracles, the Saints mismanage it. Mark Ingram doesn't run for a first down. He steps out, you know, for no reason whatsoever. And they pull it off. Tom Brady flips the switch. They go to the 2-minute offense. We still don't really know who's calling the plays in the 2-minute offense. That's a question that's probably not going to be answered till somebody writes a book. And we saw what happened. But your assessment of the game and the state of the Bucs coming out of that game.
I'm going to apply the same thing we said after the Rams miracle. Lee, they won the game, but they didn't address the problems. The main problem is still there, Lee. They did nothing to show any advancement on the offensive side of the ball. We are not worried about this defense, nor should we be. By the way, in the first half, for most of this season, the Buck defense has been sensational. Sensational. And, you know, they can't score enough to take advantage of it. They rarely have a halftime lead, even though the other team's got 3 points or 7 points. I mean, it's incredible. I wrote about it in the column. I documented. So the problem is they don't score enough points. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, that's the problem. 18 points. They dropped from 18.2 to 18.1. Lee, that's what they did. And so now they're going to San Francisco. You know, this game could get ugly in a hurry if they turn the ball over once or twice. Arguably, the 49ers defense is the best in the league, better than the Bucs. You know, and then Cincinnati comes to town. So, Lee, one of the things that I thought about, say middle of the third quarter, you can't forget about this. If they don't come back in that game, you know, and it was 16-3, they're 5-7. Facing the 49ers and the Bengals. Lee, they're staring at 5-9. Now, that ensures a losing season with Tom Brady. That would be number one. Yeah, number one for Tom Brady. Never had a losing season. But also means that the Saints, the hellaciously bad Saints, would be within striking distance of winning the division.
By the way, just for our fans, because I know Bucs fans want to savor this, repeat how you just described the Saints.
The hellaciously bad Saints.
Hey, Ira, on the last podcast, I told you, I made it very clear on the last podcast, the Saints are worse than the Browns. That's why I couldn't pick the Saints. They're that bad, and thankfully they showed it.
And I agreed with you, Steve. Kamara looks terrible. Just terrible.
He's done, I think.
You know, I thought Dalton played pretty well. I mean, I did. And that defense is not bad. That's not bad. But it's a drab team. And you could never say that with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Never use that word to describe the Saints. So anyway, Lee, what I'm saying is, at 5-9, I don't think this team is going to make the playoffs. So that's how important that Monday night rally is. And they got a lot of help from the Saints. Buck fans don't want to hear it, Lee. They don't want to hear it. They want to focus on the masterful job Brady did in those last two drives. And, you know, he made a lot of great decisions. But, boy, they got a lot of help. Third and one, the Saints are throwing the ball. What are they doing, Lee? What are they doing? Third and one, and then on fourth and one, they punt from the Bucs 44. Lee, you got to keep the ball out of Brady's hands. That's the priority. They had two chances to run for 1 yard, and instead they threw and then punted. I just can't get over it, Lee. It almost looked like Dennis Allen didn't want to win that game.
Defensive coach.
Mind-boggling, Steve. Mind-boggling.
Well, that's the thing, Lee. He didn't even play it safe. I mean, he's throwing on third and one. He's trying to put the game away, and he's just – it was just a mess, you know, and they had their drops. Olave with the, I think, one or two big drops. It's, I don't even know what to think, Ira, because the team was, the Bucs were really bad. And then all of a sudden they unleashed Brady, and then they were really good. I mean, the Saints defense is good. It's not in question. You know, the 49ers beat them 13-0 the week before and really didn't get much going offensively. And, you know, the Saints have a good defense. There's no question. And the Bucs were able to just carve it up in crunch time, no problem. So twice, and it's just it's a strange team, Ira. But now they're 6-6, and they lead the NFC South. The computer models out there put them at 92% chance of winning the division.
Right.
There's really no legitimate threat out there. But I think a lot of Bucs fans are going to yell at you, Ira, saying, "Hey, if they lost to the Saints, if one play went different, they'd be looking at 5-9. I don't think a lot of fans think the Bucs are just shot, that they have no chance of beating the 49ers or the Bengals.
Steve, you got to remember, the assumption is that they lose to the Saints. So now you've lost to the Saints and the Browns, Lee, in consecutive weeks. And I don't think that would give any confidence to Buck fans going to San Francisco or entertaining the Bengals. The Bengals look very good right now. I mean, anybody who watched them against the Chiefs, they look strong, and we know about the 49er defense. Lee, if the Bucs are 5-7, coming off losses to the Browns and Saints, I don't think it's a stretch to suggest they look staring at 5-9 right in the face.
I'm on the same page as you, Ira. I really am. You know, Bengals are playing very good ball. They have an excellent quarterback. You can make an argument he's the best quarterback in the league right now. You could.
Very, very, very good. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, their offensive line's starting to get better now.
Yes.
Perfect timing in December. You know, all these offensive linemen, they always say it takes time, it takes time. You can't plug and play. Well, the Bengals are a perfect example of that. They stunk the first month of the season, and they slowly got better. So, you know, I guess some of these offensive linemen and coaches, when they say it takes time, I guess they're on to something there.
We have to note that Donovan Smith seems to be reverting back to form from about 4 or 5 years ago when we thought he was a middle of the pack, you know, left tackle. I think he's had a couple of very good seasons, but he's really struggling. And without Wirfs in there right now, it's even more glaring, Steve. I can't blame Bowles for everything, Lee. I mean, I can't.
Well, he's the head coach. I mean,
you know, I don't think he's messing with, you know, the technique of Donovan Smith. I don't think he can get that much into the weeds, Lee. I don't think. You know, he's got enough to worry about, you know, putting out fires over there.
Well, the guy's saying he had to coach up the coaches. I don't think it's I think it's plausible to take that next step and wonder, is this why Donovan Smith's regressing? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer that question right away, Lee, and say this one's on Donovan Smith, Steve. I'm not giving him any excuses.
It's a little scary for two reasons. One, his two bad games came off a bye week. So you would think the guy would be reinvigorated, got that extra spice in his legs, and he's ready for the stretch run. He doesn't seem ready for the stretch run. Number two, and you look back a couple of years ago, and I think it was 2020, he was out for a game with COVID, even though he didn't have COVID, like he had tested positive or something. He missed a game, and that seemed to, he came back super strong after that. It was 2020, and that sort of revived his legs. I'm not seeing that right now. And, you know, the holding, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk's killing Donovan Smith and the Saints for not complaining about his holding calls and how he was holding the like 10 consecutive snaps. Even Pat Kerwin on Sirius this week was blasting Smith for just the holding endlessly. But he said, hey, it's kind of smart because they're only going to call it once or twice. And if you kind of feel out the official, if you're going to hold every time and maybe you can get away with it in ways that, that help your team. I don't know if Smith is really thinking that way or he's just exhausted and trying to hang on for dear life, but it's not a great sign.
He looks a little slow and lazy. Like,
I don't want to use the word lazy with an NFL player. That's a very charged word. That's like saying quitting. That's dangerous. But well, slow, you know, what is he, 29?
Yep.
He's not getting bullied. To me, they're blowing past him on quickness and speed.
I'm wondering, you know, he's 29. That's, you know, maybe he's turning the corner that you never recover from.
You know, he might bounce back, Steve. You know, they could really use him Sunday, a strong game, because the Niner defensive line's very strong. Now, I believe Bosa plays the left side. That's going to be a problem for Josh Wells. He's going to need help. He's going to need help.
Josh Wells did okay, but there
he did okay. He did okay. Yeah.
Oh, he did okay, but there's all kinds of plays out there where Cam Jordan just blew right past him. Just blew right past him. And fortunately, the ball was on the other side of the hash mark. Let's not start talking about he's Dan Dierdorf. Let's calm down a little bit.
Steve, Mike Evans, you guys might disagree. He looks a little slow to me. Now, he's never been a burner lead, but you know what I mean. Even the catches he makes, he's not getting great separation. He made some great catches, you know, some nice throws from Brady up high, and Evans went and got it. But it's not like he's open. He used to get open more than, and he even mentioned it the other week, right, Lee, that he needs another 2 or 3 yards of separation. I didn't see it on Monday night. He did draw a big penalty flag on that interference, Lee, when they finally woke up and did what the Sage has been yakking about for 3 years, throw the ball down the field. Mike Evans, he might not be 100%, Lee. He might be nursing some kind of small injury. He might be.
It could be. I'm not losing sleep over Mike Evans. Not now.
Regarding the injury list, Ira, it's a good example because Smith isn't on the injury list yet. Yesterday, Todd Bowles all but said his dislocated elbow is still bothering him, but he's on the field, so we don't talk about it, and it's no excuse, and he won't make that excuse either. But he's not on the injury list, which I thought was very interesting, and it just illustrates for fans that there's a lot going on that you don't see. Evans, inexplicable to me, Ira, 8 straight games without a touchdown. It's his longest streak of his career, which I think previously was 5 weeks. I have to double check it, but there's no reason for it. It's just mind-boggling that Mike Evans hasn't had a touchdown in 8 weeks. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, there again, I'm going back to the head coach. The first drive the Bucs had was first and goal from the 3. Am I correct?
I know what you're going to say, Lee. I know what you're going to say, and you're
not one pass into the end zone.
Lee, has somebody erased the fade pass out of the Buck playbook? It's been a very effective play in the red zone.
I got to say it. I hate being negative about Todd Bowles, but damn it, I got to be honest. And damn it, I got to be responsible. This is starting to look like Lou Tepper all over again. And I'm sure there might only be 3 people that know what I'm talking about, Lou Tepper. When Illinois used to have a decent program, Lou Tepper was a typical meathead defensive coach. John Makovic went to Texas, so they hired Tepper to take over. And the very first thing he said is introductory press conference, I'm direct quoting here, Ira, we're going to run the ball. Well, that's all well and good if you got the personnel. Illinois for like 15 years there with Mike White and John Makovic were a pass-first offense. And what happened? Illinois went into the shitter right away. They went into the shitter. Simeon Rice was on that team. And this is exactly what this is reminding me of. Todd Bowles comes in. Well, we can't have a hurry-up offense. We can't have a quick offense. Guys are going to get worn out in January. Make sure you're in January first, will you? Then start worrying about their freaking legs. Gosh darn.
Steve, let's look at the big picture for a second, and I don't really think you can disagree. Steve, where are we after 12 games? You know where we are, Steve? They're average. They're not bad. They're average. Steve, look at the points for and the points against. I think they're minus two. They're on the wrong side of the ledger. They're 6-6. They're average. It's an average football team. One side of the ball is much better than the other. Much better. Where that hasn't been the case necessarily in the previous 2 years. I think the offense was better than the defense, but it was close. This year, not close. Defense carrying the day. All six wins, they've scored 21 points or less. That's not supposed to happen in 2022 football. Defense keeping them around, hanging them around. Great red zone defense against the Saints. You know, two turnovers by the Bucs, doesn't matter. They make Saints kick field goals. Give this defense some credit. They're keeping this team afloat, Steve. Absolutely afloat.
Yeah, everybody knows it. You know, Tom Brady gets the credit. Todd Bowles knows that his defense is what's keeping him afloat, and I think that's why he's digging in even harder on getting the offense his way to give that defense more time, more opportunity, save their breath and their energy a little bit. I don't know. It's a wacky cycle. I mean, I'd love to see them just, you know, Russell Gage is back now. He's at least on the field. He's not 100% healthy yet, which was the point I was trying to make before, Ira, is Gage is back from the hamstring. He played in this last game, had an 11-yard catch, the only one they threw him, and he's not on the injury list. And then Tuesday, the Buccaneers Radio Network has assistant wide receivers coach Thaddeus Lewis on there, Bruce Arians' handpicked young guy, and he says, quote, "We're just praying that Russell can come back and be healthy to, you know, where we need him to be. And he mentions three times that he's not healthy, yet he's not on the list and he's back. So I don't know. Ira, the Scotty Miller looks sharp on his routes and like they might be able to find a way to use him a little bit better, but it's just not happening. That opening drive, great opening drive, probably the way they scripted it. But the crazy thing is when they got to first and goal, I have to think, and this is what I think is goes to the heart of what Lee's talking about. If they scripted this drive, which we know they'd script the opening drives, it went perfectly. They get to first and goal, means they had a first and goal package ready to go. And so there they are at the 6-yard line, and that first and goal package starts with Leonard Fournette up the middle. 1 yard, big surprise. And then they throw behind the sticks to Godwin to that wide receiver screen that everybody knows is coming. He got 1 yard, and then they went to Fournette, and Fournette couldn't get the edge and got 1 yard. And Warren Sapp said of Fournette, Ira, he said Tom Brady looked at him, and his face said, like, oh, my God, jump in the air, Leonard. The guy's diving at your feet. Pick him up. You know, Sapp was furious that Fournette didn't get the edge, and he thinks a big problem in the offense is not the coaching staff. He thinks it's Brady. And he thinks it's Fournette, that they're just not anywhere near the players that they were the last couple of years. You know, that's just Sapp's take.
Well, I'm going to ask you a thorny question here, DeKemper. And you better be able to handle this one, Lee.
Well, hold on, Sage. If you're getting thorny, I want to remind everybody that you won't be thorny on Sunday when you roll into Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, the tap room on 49th Street. About 4 o'clock for the Buccaneers kickoff at 4:25 against the 49ers. Hang out with the Sage, drink Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer, feast on some great food, and hang out with Ira. You can't beat that. Great situation to watch the game. 3,000 square feet of covered outdoor seating and indoors over at Big Storm. Go ahead, Ira.
Everybody likes to say Brady's getting the ball out in 2.2 seconds because he's under siege. They're all over him, and that's why he can't let plays develop, and that's why he can't throw downfield, and that's why you can't see plays that take more than 2.5 seconds. He's doing the right thing. He's getting the ball out. He's avoiding the sack. He's not throwing interceptions. Lee, I don't believe any of that. I think that's a lot of garbage, Lee. Garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you two reasons. One, what they're doing is not working. That's the first thing. It's not working. The 4-yard passes are not working. They can't sustain a 14-play drive going down the field 4 yards at a time. It's not working. They're not scoring any points. And number two, and I'll say it till my last breath, DeKemper, Tom Brady is not under siege. I'm sorry. No. I'll say it again. I see other teams where within 1.5 seconds, the quarterback's being flushed out of the pocket. Yep. Do you see that? Do you see that in Tampa? Do you
not see that often.
Do you see Brady on the run? Do you see Brady having a rollout? I know he gets rid of the ball fast, but I'm sorry. I think this is a giant misperception that has been going on all season, that the pass protection stinks. This offensive line can't protect him. He's getting clobbered. He's getting hit. Lee, none of that is true. Absolutely none of it is true. And if they want to throw downfield, darn it, they can put Cole Keith in at the line of scrimmage and double team the other team's best pass rusher, and he can have time to throw downfield. They choose not to, Lee.
And I'm not saying this in a condescending way. Not at all. There's a major disconnect, and it has been for years, between what fans think a pocket is and what a pocket is. And what, for example, if Brady's flushed out of the pocket once in a game, oh my God, there's horrible offensive line. Did you see that?
That's right.
That's number one. Number two, fans demand, not expect, demand 5 pancake blocks every play. I've heard Phil Simms talk about this. I've heard other people talk about this. It's not Bucs fans, it's NFL fans. There is a major disconnect between what fans perceive as good blocking and what is good blocking. And I really wish general managers or coaches would sort of do a coaching seminar on their team websites with film breakdowns for people to watch so they understand what a good block is and what an actual good block is. You know, perception and reality. And, you know, NFL coaches, they're just paranoid about doing something like that. But it would behoove them to educate the fans, to demonstrate to the fans, so they're not screaming for people to get fired right and left. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Ira. If there was something wrong with the Bucs offensive line, Steve and I would be writing 2 or 3 stories a day. That's just not the case. It's not about manhandling guys. It's about, in pass protection, just getting the guy's way.
Neutralize him. That's right.
Yeah, well,
that's
just right. Get in his way. So what if he gets 5 yards on you? As long as he doesn't touch the quarterback, that's the goal. The goal is the guy not touching the quarterback.
Well, that's
people perceive, you know, they got to pancake block the guy, otherwise it's a failure.
I mean, that goes back a little bit, though. Lee, you sort of knocked Josh Wells for some of his blocking. Cameron Jordan never touched Tom Brady 54 dropbacks. So,
and I did say that. The ball was on the other side of Cam Jordan.
Sage, let me clarify the numbers for you here. First of all, Brady averages 2.44 seconds time to throw. That's the official metric from the time the ball snapped to his release, 2.44. That's what he averages. And Joe Burrow is pretty much next as far as the big-time starters at 2.55, so about a tenth of a second apart. But in this last game, for example, Brady got rid of the ball 2.54 seconds all game. That's good blocking for the offensive line. Joe Burrow at 2.55. So they were the same this past week. Daniel Jones got rid of the ball faster. Matt Ryan got rid of the ball faster. Trevor Lawrence got rid of the ball a lot faster. So, I mean, it's not like Brady's spitting it out at some ridiculous amount here. He is quick with the ball. He's getting rid of it. I agree with you in the fact that I don't think there's any reason why they can't be chucking the ball more down the field like they used to. Part of it's philosophy. Part of it is, personnel. They obviously had some struggles earlier in the season, you know, with Luke Getteke getting Brady hit.
Yeah, and Steve, one more quick point on this topic. And Lee, you know I'm right about this. Every defensive meeting, every defensive meeting, when you're playing the Bucs, every one of them, are you going to focus on trying to stop Leonard Fournette off tackle, or are you going to focus on putting Brady on his ass? The answer is obvious.
Yeah.
Every time you play Tom Brady, you got to hit him. You got to get him on the ground. Hit him. Well, Lee, nobody can do it. And at some point, you got to say the pass protection's been good. I'm sorry.
I know, but it's a popular It's a popular trope with fans. The offensive line's horrible. It's a habitual hollering. You know, you're talking about the Bucs defense. I've been critical of Bowles, but I'll also be very positive about Bowles here. His defense is doing what it's doing, and it's good defense. He's doing this without a pass rusher, Ira.
Yep. No Shaq Barrett. We haven't mentioned it.
And Joe Tryon's been, I guess you could say, demoted. Is that correct, Steve?
Well, Sage, he got his snaps cut significantly in this past game. Bowles raving about after the game, raving about Carl Nassib. He had time to think about it as far as talking about his run defense. On his radio show, Bowles praised five guys. None were named Tryon. And I think there's a change here. It was a significant change, and it sparked the team a little bit. Nassib been getting a lot of those snaps that would have gone to Tryon.
We got to say up front that Alvin Kamara, at least this version of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, they're not going to be confused with Nick Chubb. They're not, Lee. They're not. but having said that, the Buck run defense was not very good in Cleveland. It was not. And that paved the way for a loss. And run defense was very, it was stellar Monday night. Again,
I thought run defense at Cleveland wore down.
Which it has done at times this year. Worn down. You're right. Worn down. And who can blame them, Lee? Who can blame them? I think they're tired. And Steve, I think they're demoralized late in games when they're saying, geez, we played 48 minutes of great football on our side of the ball and we're losing? Well, what's going on here?
Well, you know, you bring up a very interesting point, Ira. A very interesting point. You know, Todd Bowles, I've written about it. I almost want to puke. I've written about it so much. And we have all talked about it, where Todd Bowles had stated before the season he didn't want to run Bruce Arians' offense because he thought his players were gassed at the end of the season. As a result, he even said that about special teams, which I have to think that's a punchline. That's hard to believe. But anyway, if you can't move the ball on offense, isn't your defense naturally going to get burned out?
Much worse than anything else that we've ever seen. Much worse.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, what Bowles is trying to accomplish by, you know, putting a lasso on the offense, he's actually doing the opposite.
I'm going to call BS on all this stuff, Ira. I'm sorry, Ira. I got to call BS on it. If they're demoralized, then get them off the freaking team. Sorry if you're demoralized because you got to – make a stop. I mean, come on. And number two, what do you think, Ira, is the, what do you guys think is the difference in time of possession between this year's Bucks and last year's Bucks? The difference. I'm going to tell you up front that we possess the ball less this year. How much difference?
45 seconds.
Lee?
I have no idea, but I know that when a team scores, there's generally an emotional uplift for the defense.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
And when a team constantly goes three and out, that's going to wear on the defense mentally. Like, shit, we got to go out there again. We barely drank a cup of water.
Guys, the time of possession difference is only like a minute and 15, a minute 20 seconds for the whole game from this year to last year. That's not enough time for me to say you're demoralized and you don't have any juice. Hell, Vita Vea and these guys rotate more than any other team. They should be super fresh. I can't buy into any of that. The Bucks of old, Ira, they had a bad offense, and year after year after year, they didn't like it, and they were frustrated by the quarterback situation, but they produced, and that's what this defense is doing now. But on some of these little nuances thing, don't tell me that they're tired or gassed or demoralized.
Steve, I don't think you're giving enough credence. I know you're saying you're professional. You got to be a professional. But it does wear on you, Steve. It does wear on you. They're human beings. I think mentally you get a little worn down. You don't want to be, Steve, but I think you have to acknowledge a plodding offense like this one. And yes, it's plodding, Steve. It's plodding. Downfield throws are rare. Big time gains are rare. It's plodding. And to Lee's point, I think it does get to you after a while, Steve, especially when you lose the game.
I'll give you that, Ira, if you want it. But I'm still saying if you're demoralized out there, then You got a serious problem. I mean, look at the, for years, the Buccaneers defense of old, phenomenal defense. Did they get annoyed? Did they get pissed off at the offense? Yeah. Did they show that they were demoralized on the field? No.
Well, that team had four Hall of Famers, and that's without Simeon Rice, who's in the conversation, Lee. Maybe five Hall of Famers. This one doesn't. I mean, it's a good defense, but it's not the 2002 Bucks. By the way, Steve, one more quick note, and I hate to bring in another note of negativity off of victory, but special teams, Steve, special teams, Suckup's been great. Kamada, he's dropping off a little, Lee. Kamada's dropping off a little bit. I wonder if he's hitting a rookie wall. And Lee, they're still giving up too much yardage on the coverage units. It's got to get better than that.
Wait a minute. I can hear all of our listeners driving in their cars or drinking Big Storm beers saying, how the hell does a punter hit a rookie wall? What, is he tired? What is that?
Well, I'm trying to look for an explanation, Lee, but he hasn't punted well the last 2-3 weeks, and he had some big weeks before that, so I don't know what's going on, but Lee, 42-yard punt return, I mean, you can't get away with that very often. They did this week. The coverage units, to me, they're not doing a good enough job.
Ivers, does this surprise you at all?
Well, I don't know. There's supposed to be such a big emphasis the last couple of years in the draft on special teams, on coverage units. Yeah, you lose guys. You lost Ryan Smith, and he was a big part of it. But that's one guy. Lee, whatever the answer is, it's got to get a little better. It's got to get a little better.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I expect this. So I'm not like, oh, my God, they got to get better. I can't get the division. This is the Bucks. This has been the Bucks since Keith Armstrong came here. That's Keith Armstrong's M.O. He was not a good special teams coach at Atlanta. He's not hasn't been a good special teams coach here. They're not playing good special teams now. Why should we be surprised?
This team doesn't have a margin for error. That's the difference.
Wait a minute. Well,
yes, you're correct, but you're expecting a coach and an element of the Bucks that has been bad for years to magically be better.
Wait, Todd Bowles is coaching up the coaches. What are you talking about? It's going to be fixed before you know. Hey, Ira, I figured out why Kamada hit a rookie wall. It's because he's making so many tackles. That's why.
Well, that was a big tackle. That was a big time. That guy might have been gone.
Steve. He's banged up. He's banged up. All right, now, Ira, look, we got another podcast this week. And how do you want to get us out of here?
Well, I'm going to look at the positive, Lee. You got to look at the positive because we've been rough on this podcast because the Bucks didn't play well. For 57 minutes, they played terribly, terribly. So what are we supposed to do? Do jumping jacks because they beat a bad Saints team? But, Lee, they're going to win this division. Steve's right, 92%, say the pundits.
By default,
they're going to win a division. So they're going to get a home playoff game. Steve was talking about grabbing the number 3 seed. That seems like a long shot now. Seems like a long shot. We'll see. I think it's still within reach, but they got to close strong. And, the next 2 weeks will tell the tale because the last 3 games, Arizona, Carolina, Atlanta, I'm not too worried about those games. You never know, but they're beatable teams. But Lee, of course, we've seen the Bucks lose to the Pittsburghs and Carolinas of the world. Anyway, they're going to win a division. That'll be 2 years in a row winning the division. I don't care if it's got an asterisk. I don't care if they're 8-9 and win the division. So they're going to get a home game. They'll get some people back. Antoine Winfield will be back. Wirfs will be back. Shaq Barrett won't, but some significant parts will be back. And then Lee, can they make some noise in mid-January? Can they? Might play the Cowboys. The game would be in Tampa. They already beat the Cowboys in week 1 and beat them good in Dallas. Cowboys have played well, no question. Lee, I'm not ready to close the books on the 2022 Bucks. I'm not. And I'll tell you why, Lee. Because the way they finish, I think, is going to have a dramatic impact on Tom Brady's decisions. And Tom Brady's decisions are going to have the major impact on the 2023 Bucks. Because, Lee, if he's not here, there could be time for a total rebuild. It might be.
All right.
That's very interesting, Ira. It's very interesting. Well, Warren Sapp is already on record as saying if the Bucks play the Cowboys, chalk up a Bucks win.
Sage, Jalen Darden, cut. What do you make of that? A new accountability thing going on at $1, or what's going on?
You know, Lee, it sounds crazy. I can't believe I'm saying it, Lee. He hasn't been bad this year. I don't think he's been bad. I mean, you know, it's not like he's 28th among punt returners. He's not. You know, he's not having a lot of fumbling problems. I don't think the return game's been a problem for the 2022 Bucks. It hasn't been great. It hasn't been elite, but it has been a problem. They got issues, and that's not one of them. So the timing surprised me a little bit. And I know you surprised Scotty Miller in the locker room this week,
yeah,
which is great. And they'll hash it out with Giovanni Bernard. I'm not sure they're going to pick up anything by making that switch.
I know everybody says that, you know, Darden has good numbers. And I guess that's just the state of the return game these days. But
yep,
aesthetically, he didn't look good at all. But then that brings me to a bigger issue, Ira. A couple of NFL suits were on the NFL Network, and this drove me crazy. And I didn't expect anybody to challenge these guys because it's the NFL Network. But these guys were bragging about how the game is safer. You know, we've eliminated certain plays, and that's made the game safer. And I was screaming at the TV, how has that improved the game? Name a play that's been eliminated that's improved the game. I can't think of one. But they're sitting there bragging, oh, we're saving so many injuries. No, you're saving lawsuits. You're not saving injuries. And he didn't make the game better. So quit glossing yourself.
They're not going to criticize anybody on Park Avenue, Lee. Steve, I want to do a quick shout-out to Jesse and Jen, two huge fans of Joe Buck's fan. And I saw them at Bill Curry Ford this week. You know, they're from Niagara Falls, Canadian side. And they went to the game Monday night and stuck it out, and give them credit because a lot of people didn't. You know, they showed up at Bill Curry Ford, you know, armed to the teeth. I got maple syrup from Canada and some other gifts for Sean Sullivan. I've already poured it over my pancakes. Hats off to two great Buck fans and big supporters of Joe Buck's fan, Jesse and Jen.
Ira, are you drinking the maple syrup with a straw?
Right over my blueberry pancakes, Steve. You know what? I might bring it to Big Storm this week and pour it over whatever I order at Big Storm.